You may, if you've looked at the source sheets, you may be wondering, and you have the right to wonder, what is this all about? There's no Haftarah there. It seems completely different than what we've been doing now for three quarters of a year. And let me tell you that it is indeed different. And the shiur that I'm going to say today, I'm saying because of a personal need to say the shiur. There are reasons that have made this an even more pressing need. And furthermore, the Haftarah for Parashat Vayakhel is not an off-learned Haftarah, a short one that deals with the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. And I wanted to say this shiur. I'll tell you what the shiur is about and what was it that inspired the shiur, or maybe the shiur necessity. A week and a half ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, there was a very brief letter to the editor of the Jerusalem Post. And that letter, the fellow says that he really doesn't understand why everybody is getting all worked up about Gaza and Gush Katif. It's not really part of Eretz Israel. And proof is because Shmita is not kept in Gush Katif. During Shmita year, would we eat from Gush Katif? End of letter. Now, I would have thought that there would have been many responses to it. Maybe the truth is that I should have responded to myself. The only thing is, there are 10 things every day that I read in the Jerusalem Post that I get all upset and excited about and I have to respond. I question my whole life would be one life of responding, and I, you know, you got to do something in this life. It's unbelievable, you know. And then usually there's somebody else who responds, like the last week's meta article by Pinning Gunner. So along came Rabbi Macy Gordon, who was the first, and then a whole series of people that wiped the floor with the yuppie Pinning Gunner, who seems to gloat about the fact that we're having so much songs here. But all right, I'm not going to get into that. But I didn't see any response to this letter about Gush Katif, and certainly, of course, the person who's writing it seems to be an Orthodox Jew. He knows about Shemitah, and he knows that Shemitah doesn't apply in Gush Katif, so he seems to be tuned in, but he's so wrong. It's unbelievable how wrong he is. And I always want my students to know the truth. So this year is going to be really we're only going to be able to touch, you know, a number of aspects of Gaza and Gush Katif. The author, I can tell you, the end, I mean, the end is going to be very clear. There's no doubt about it. There are three kinds of boundaries or definitions of Eretz Yisrael. One is called Gevulot Ha'avtacha. Gevulot Ha'avtacha means the boundaries that are described in Torah, in Parashat Matos Maseh, that there are a number of places where Torah describes and defines the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Those are called Gevulot Ha'avtacha, the boundaries of God's divine promise. Some of those boundaries we will not have until the coming of Mashiach. Twice, halachically, Jews came to Eretz Yisrael when they entered in the days of Yahushua, the first entry into Eretz Yisrael, and they are called Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt, and what they conquered and what they settled is called the Gvulot, the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt. Now, you go through Yahushua and show to them and you see that they didn't conquer every part of Eretz Yisrael. There were a number of places where the Canaanites still remain, but they did conquer a major part of Eretz Yisrael. comes the destruction of the first Beth Hamikdash. Jews go off into exile in Babel. They return with Ezra and Nehemiah. There's going to be a period of 500 years of the Second Commonwealth. And they also establish boundaries, and their boundaries were established by virtue of what they settled. They didn't settle as much as the only Mitzrayim of those who came up from Egypt. Therefore, the boundaries of the second Beit HaMikdash are called the boundaries of only Babel, those who came up from Babel. Those who came up from Babel are less, they took up less area than those who came from Mitzrayim. So there are three definitions of the geography of Eretz Yisrael. Gvulot HaHavtacha, the promise, the boundaries of God and Torah. Olim Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt, what it was that they settled, and then there's Olim Babel. Now, there are differences in Halacha between the boundaries of Olim Babel, those who came from Babel, and those who came from Mitzrayim. The areas that were settled by Olim Babel have a din of Eretz Yisrael with regard to the mitzvot, hatuyot ba'aretz, truma, ma'aser, etc. And by the way, all of it is midrabanan today. Shmit and Yovel are all midrabanan. Yovel isn't all together, but Shmit that we keep is midrabanan. Because it will not be min haTorah until you have Rov Yoshevei HaOlel, you have to have the majority of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. All right. So now where we're talking about is midrabanan. So there are two areas. There's the boundaries of Olei Babel. There we keep all of the mitzvahs. Chevel Azam from Ashkelon to the south, just as from Akko to the north. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Sechter Gittin says that one of the boundaries of Olei Babel, those who came from Babel, from Akko in the north to Ashkelon in the south. Is there anybody who would ever say that Kandiel and Shlomi and all of those places that are north of Akko are not part of Eretz Yisrael? Of course they're part of Eretz Yisrael. Is anybody to say that Ashkelon, and Ashkelon, the Gemara says, is Kitorom, like the Sarah Park, not part of Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't mean it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. It means, from the halachic point of view, as far as Mitzvah, there's a difference between that which was settled by those who came up from Babel, and then there are areas outside of it that were settled by those who came up from Egypt, but not settled by those who came from Babel. It's all Eretz Yisrael. With regard, for example, to the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, living in the land. Living in the land has nothing to do with the area of those who came up from Egypt or those who came up from Babel. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is within Gevulot HaHavtacha, within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael as described in Torah. Kiddushah Haaretz. Everybody says, beginning with Rabbi Shtoni HaParchi, the Kaftor HaFerach, great sefer written in the 11th century by a Jew, a great Talmud Chacham, who simply walked the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael and wrote a major treatise on Halacha. Kaftor HaFerach. Kiddushah HaAtzmit, the innate Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, its sanctity, applies to everything that's within the biblical boundaries. There's a Gemara that says that when they came off from Babel, they didn't sanctify Beit Shan. Why didn't they sanctify Beit Shan? Because if they wanted that in Shmita year, the poor would have someplace next door from which they could get food. You try and tell David Levy that Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. You'll write a letter to the editor like that in the Jerusalem Post. Well, you'll hear about it. The fact that certain halachot do not apply does not mean it's not Eretz Yisrael. that there's the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael being God's land. That applies to the entire, all of the boundaries that are outlined in the Torah. As far as various mitzvot, there are even some law that there are certain mitzvot like Ora and Klein that apply min haTorah even to the boundaries of Ola Yitzchayim today, which means that in a certain number of, with regard to certain halachas, Gush Katif has the halacha of Torah when we come to those mitzvot after the other ones. But that it is an inseparable part of Eretz. So there's a question about it. I mean, there are some places that as is mentioned in Torah. Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom extended may Tifsach va'ar Aza, from Tifsach until Aza. Va'yilkom Yehoshua, Yehoshua, Kargit, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Etgar, and Aza. Aza appears time and time again in Tanakh. Aza was an integral, inseparable part of Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure that the confusion comes because you've been hearing, what are we doing in Aza? What business do we have over there?
Not Jewish.
So first we have to know that the two oldest synagogues in Eretz Yisrael happen to be in Aza. One is in North Aza, one is in South Aza. There were Jewish communities there for, I don't know how many years, I mean, hundreds of years before a Palestinian or an Arab set foot over there. One of the famous rabbis of Aza was Rabbi Yisroel Majara, Rabbi Yisroel Majara. If you think that that street going through Givat Shaul is the name of some Arab sheik, it's not. Rabbi Yisroel Majara is famous. Every Jew knows Rabbi Yisroel Majara. He wrote Kori Bohm. Every Friday is there a Jewish Kumahon that doesn't sing Kori Bohm. And if you take a look, the letters, the first letters of all the stanzas equal Yisrael. And Yisrael and Jara were 400 years ago was the Rav of Aza. Aza appears in the responsa literature. There's a famous question that was asked by, there was a fellow who was living in the Tzayim, and he wanted to move to Aza. And he wanted his, as the halacha says, if husband or wife want to go off to Eretz Yisrael, and the spouse doesn't want to go, then there are all sorts of penalties for that. He can divorce her, or for that matter, she can demand a divorce from him. If she wants to go, it's all the same. It's absolutely legal over here, don't you think? So here's this fellow who lives in Italian, and he wants to go to Aza. So one of the great posts of the time said, he can't force her to go to Aza. So there were those, you know, the overwhelming weight of all of the Farshim who came at was, what are you talking about? How could he have ever said that? Until somebody explained what he meant, what he had in mind. The fact is, this fellow wanted to move from Yitzchayim to Aza because he wanted to relocate his business to Aza. He didn't want to go to Aza because there's a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael there. So the Pesach Halacha was, when can a spouse coerce the other one? It is when they want to go and you want them to fulfill the mitzvah. But what happens if he has no interest in fulfilling the mitzvah? It's just going to be better for business. Just okay. So what I want to do, I mean, this is a general introduction to what we're talking about. But for example, what about the question, do you keep Yontif Sheni in Aza? Do you keep Yontif Sheni? You know, I didn't think about it. I remember now one of the last times I was there. I was there in the hotel, Malon Chov to come in, I was there for Pesach. And, you know, I didn't keep two days, I kept one day. So of course, there is a ritual, one of the Rishonim, who says that Yom Tov Sheni or not Yom Tov Sheni depends on Gvulot HaHavtacha. the gvulot, you should know the terminology already, the gvulot ha'apakha, the biblical boundaries. There is a Rambam that disagrees, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch Paskin, that with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, everybody agrees with the Ritva, that it depends on gvulot ha'apakha, and therefore, in answer, it's one day only. It isn't a great deal that we're doing, but I want to take you for a little journey through a parasha in Torah that's all Elza. It's all Gushkati, the whole parasha. And there are such fascinating things that are said by the Mepharshim. And if you want to understand the events that are taking place before our very eyes, you have to learn this parasha. All right, now with 15 minutes of introduction, we have a little problem. Just follow me. First we'll see some of the text of the Torah. You'll remember it. This is in Parshas told us. By Yehida Arba Aretz, there was a famine in the land. Mufat Harov and Rishon Asher Hayomi Ve'Avram. Aside from that original great famine that took place in the days of Avram. By Yelech Yitzchak El Avimelech Melech Plishtin Gerora. Yitzchak went to Avimelech, the king of Plishtin, to Gerora. Let me also point out, this is really a continuation of what happened before the Akedah in Precha by Yehuda. It says that there was a struggle between Avimelech, king of Plishtim, and Abraham, and they made a covenant that they were not going to wage war with one another, and they called the name of the place where they had made the covenant, Be'er Shah. Now there's a famine in the land, two parashas later, Avram is no longer alive, Yitzchak goes to Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerora. Gerora is Aza. Just get this straight. Gerora is Aza. By the way, you most probably will immediately understand that it has to be part of Eretz Yisrael, because we're going to see soon, Yitzchak is not committed out of Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak is the Ola Tumima, the one who was brought as a sacrifice on the altar. He cannot go out to Chutz La'aretz when he's in Gerar. So obviously, Gerar, Aza, Katir, whatever you want to call it, is an integral part of Eretz Yisrael. Vayeyara Hashem. It seems from the Mepharshim that he goes to Plishtim with the intent of from there going down to Mitzrayim. He's following in the footsteps of his father. What did his father do when there was a famine in the land? He went down to Mitzrayim. The easiest way to get to Mitzrayim is via Plishtim. By the way, the Mitzvim also know that the quickest way to get weapons into Eretz Yisrael is via Gaza. You understand? So he goes. By the way, that's why it says by Yi B'Shalach Paro at Ha'am, and Paro sent the people out. Lo Nacham Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim. God did not take the Jewish people in the direction of Plishtim, because Plishtim would have been the quickest and straightest way to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't do it because he was afraid that if they would be confronted with struggle, they would turn around and go straight back. Plishtim is the way down to Mitzrayim. And it's called Plishtim, and it will be called Plishtim for a long time. There are going to be hundreds of years of battle between Jews and Plishtim until ultimately David is going to crush the Plishtim. But because it's called Eretz, Plishtim does not mean it's not an integral part of Eretz Yisrael. We'll see. Vayegor El Hashem, God appeared to Yitzchak. Vayomim, he said, Al Tei Yitzchayim, don't go down to Egypt. Shchon Boretz Hashem Omar Elecho. Dwell in the land that I will say to you. Gur Boretz Hazos. Live in this land. Ve'yeh Chana will be with you. Va'avorecheko. And I will, Va'avorecheko, I will bless you. Ki lecho ul zareko, because to you and your seed and pain and call of Ha'avotz of Hel, I will give all of these lands. Va'akimoti et Hashur, I will establish the oath Asher Ishbati La'avrom, because that I swore to your father, Avram. Where is the promise being made to him? The promise is being made to him as he stands in Plishtim. He's in Azar someplace. Yehidei Yitzhak HaKakot Ve'ashamayim, I will make your seed as many as the seed of as the stars of the heavens. V'nasaku L'Zarachot Kol HaRatzot El, all of these men you will be given to your seed. V'yidvogu L'Zarachot Kol Goyei Ha'aretz, all of the nations of the land are going to be blessed by your seed. And this promise I make to you, Eikim HaShashom Avron Nekoli, because Avron listened to my voice, by Yishma Mishmarati, and he kept that which I wanted him to keep, Mitzvotai, Chukotai, V'Torotai, my commandments, my statutes, and my Torah. By Yeshet Yitzchok Tukor, pretty small passage, a three-word passage. Yitzchok lived in Gror. Gror is Abba. Amen. Then, of course, we know the rest of the story. People started asking about his wife, and he said that she's my sister. And then there's this strange thing that Rabbi Melech looked through the window, and he saw Yitzchak and Rivka sort of conducting themselves not like brother and sister. So he calls Yitzchak and he says, "Why did you nearly bring me to a terrible sin?" Change himself by his wanted to take Rivka. So Yitzchak tells him, I was afraid. Pen Kiamarim, Pen Amutale, Pasuk 9. Pasuk 10, Avinela says, what did you do? Terrible thing. Anyway, Avinela says, hands off Yitzchak. By Yitzchak Borat Sahib, Pasuk Yubet, he planted that year in Azam. And it's fascinating. It was a famine. Not only was it a famine, it's a difficult place to plant anything. And by Yitzchak planted in that year, and he received meyosher on him, 100 times the seed that he put in. Very significant. Nobody has been able to make that land fertile until Jews came 30 years ago and turned the sands of Gaza into one of the most productive parts of Eretz Israel that exports, I think, 15% of the export of vegetables to Europe comes from little Gush Etzion. It's a small area, There's no question about it that the growth in Gush Etzion is a clear indication that it's the Rebbeinu's land that he gave to us. And just as Yitzchak planted that year and he got a tremendous yield, so too, that's what's happened there over the last 30 years. They took sand dunes, and turned them into gardens. That our hearts took very, I'm telling you, sick of the room. Anyway, the next part of the parasha, we know the story. He starts digging wells. Which wells does he dig? Wells that had already been dug by his father Avraham, and following the death of Avraham, the Plishtim had closed up those wells. And you see them, the Russians say, do you know why they closed up the wells? Because they were afraid that someday Avraham's children are going to come here and they're going to want to take title and possession of his land, and they don't want them there. From the very beginning, we're going to see in the portion, there's going to be a Radak, if I don't get to it inside at least, the Radak says, there were always struggles over that piece of land. But 350 years during the time of the Shoftim of Kuf, ultimately David HaMelech crushed the Plishtim, there were always struggles over that land. And it was with the Plishtim. The Plishtim were the most serious enemy we had throughout history. The Plishtim, worst. He digs three wells. The first well, they contend and they struggle about it. So he calls the name of the well Asek. Asek, we had a disagreement about it. There's a second well, and they struggle about that well, saying, it's our well. Yitzchak learns quickly. Doesn't take him 3,500 years. And there are those who don't learn after 3,500 years. That's a tragedy. They think that everything's going to be okay. Yitzhak already knew by the time there was a struggle over the second whale that they hate him, and he called the name of the whale Sitna. Then there was a third whale, and they didn't struggle over the whale. He called that whale Rechovot. Arachol, now, here from Hashem, love, God has made things wide for us and for new borders, and we're going to be fruitful in the land. I wanted to apply to this idea, which you see is expressed by the Madak, that there will be periods of Esek, there will be periods of Sitna, and by the time of Mashiach, it will be the Chobot. By the time of Mashiach, there won't be any struggle anymore over Chevel Aza and Gush Katif. So I wanted to say that wind corresponds to what the Ramban says. The Ramban here says that the first well represents the first commonwealth. The second well represents the second commonwealth. The first well is by its Rishon. The second well is by its Sheni. The third well represents the third time Jews will come back to Eretz Israel. That's now. And then will come the time of Hirchev Hashem Lanu Ufaminu Ba'aretz, that it will be ours, and no one will ever claim it again. It means that what's about to happen, you understand, should not be part of the script. Should not be part of the script. I don't know. Maybe it won't happen. I don't know. If God forbid it does happen, it's going to be a profound tragedy. But as far as I'm concerned, my faith will not be shaken. Because man cannot undo what God has wrought. They'll find out soon enough that it was a tragic, tragic mistake. It's part of the Gevulot HaHavtacha. It's going to be ours. It's going to be ours. And maybe it really means, I'm afraid to say this, that Goyim will not be able to take it from us when we come to the third time. That doesn't mean that Jews won't be able to take it from us. Let's begin to take a look at some of the some of the portions. In number one, which is the Radak, I just wanted to take a look at, there are going to be a few of these examples, but it's very clear, it has to be made clear, and it is made clear by the portion. Number one, the Radak says, the Yitzchok goes down to Plishtim because it seems that the famine in Eretz Canaan was not as bad in Plishtim as it was there. If you'll take a look and see where it's underlined, Radak makes a clear statement. Ki Eretz Plishtim e Eretz Kanani. Make no mistake, Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Kanani. It's not Chutz Laretz. It's not Chutz Laretz. Kamosha Katar had been said earlier, and that's why the Chen Oro proved that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. That's why God says to him, call us out of what then to call us out of to you and your children over here, all of these lands. Umar Shomar, when he said, Shom Boras HaShomar 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 HaShomar, God said two things to Yitzhak. He said, Shom, dwell in the land that I will tell you. And then he told him, Gur, live in this land. Lechazek lo ha-mitzvah. To strengthen Yitzchak's understanding that there's a mitzvah to live here. Shemun Yetzi min Haaretz, lo atav lo alam. He shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael neither now nor ever. It's clear. This is it's Eretz Yisrael. Asher omari lecha, kasher omari tilo vishba. Kach omari lecha, as I said to your father, so I say to you. Vihirbeiti, the next piece of the Radak, the Natakul Zarakal, Lahem Tihye Matanagamura.
ultimately to your children, this piece of land will be given as a complete gift. Sheyishkenu bo, they will live in the land. The Gorshu Hagoyim Mimena, and the nations are going to be cast out of there. Marshal Mosaracho, Al Zera Yaakov Amar, Kiyu Al Zera Mukhar Avram Yitzhak. I think of that, I think it must have been the Shabbos Shulet Rashi, this guy said, and I didn't have this text in front of me then. I said that Avram Avinu represents Bayit Rishon. Yitzchak Avinu represents Bayit Sheni. Yaakov Avinu represents the third entry into Eretz Yisrael. And what way is Yaakov's entry into Eretz Yisrael different than all the others? Because it is only to Yaakov that God makes the promise. Ufadasto Yono Vakevo Tzapono Vanegva. It is spread out in all directions. As Chazal say it, and as we say in the Zmiris, that God will give to Yaakov Nachamot Li Mitzrayim, an inheritance without darkness. This is the time when we are supposed to be in the process of receiving boundaries without an end. So that therefore, whatever mere mortal men attempt to do will ultimately fail. The only question is what will be the price. The Orachayim on this passage, the Orachayim HaKadosh, to the call of Zarabat, to you and your children, I will give this land, and it's plished in the chlau netinab ha'aretzi. Remember that sentence? And it's plished in is part of the gift of Eretz. It is not separate and distinct. It's not chutzmarat. The Arachayim is talking to the fellow who wrote the letter to the Jerusalem Post. Make no mistake. Rambam also agrees with this. I imagine there must have been some confusion even in their days with regard to the halacha of Aza. So they all want to make it clear. The Radak, by the way, is about 500 years before the Arachayim. The Arachayim was 200 years ago here in Eretz Yisrael. Arachayim ben Atar, he's called the Arachayim HaKodesh. Arachayim HaKodesh is buried on Har Zeisim. And the Ramban and the Radak, even and Rav David Kimchi was one of the great Jews in the golden period of Spain, in the early years of the golden period of Spain. We're talking about a thousand years, Radak, to Ramban, to Arachayim. L'zeh Ramban, Yisrael Ramban, V'omro, L'cho Haftoch Azu, Ulai, Shehi Amat, Shehi Tzliach Husham. The special promise over here about this land is to point out that Yitzchak had unbelievable success. Where? In Aza. By years, by Yitzchak, there is, I mean, Yitzchak planted in that year. And he got Meir. But Oded Kaveh Malo, God also intended to say to him here, Sheyizke Ruvor, Lizanoah, Ruulai. Now watch this. That he will be Zochet. Listen to this carefully. The light he loved had as it had run there is pleased him. The Chazakar and Shema. It may be that Yitzchak had to come back to Plishtim. Because when Avram Avinu was in Plishtim, he didn't lay claim to it. Proof that he didn't lay claim? He entered into a covenant with Abimelech in which he said there will be no struggle between me and you, my children and your children, my grandchildren and your grandchildren. So what Avram is really done, and it's difficult to say it, but the Rachaim is saying it, the others are saying it. Avram had relinquished, for a number of generations, he relinquished his right to the land. And therefore, in order to make sure that this land will become of the Nahara of Klansur, Yitzchak had to come, and you know what he had to do? He had to dig wells. He had to plant in that land. How do you make a king? How do you acquire land? By working the land.
So the Barachayim says, Ulay Neki Kilo Hechazik Avram Be'etz Plishtim Be'chazok HaRushona. Avram didn't really hold on to the land of Plishtim when he first was there. Rotzo Hashem, that's why God wanted She'yachazik Yitzchak Ba, that Yitzchak should now take possession. A chazaka mu'ula means a proper kinyan. Shecharash bezorah, he plowed and planted. And that's why God said, Ekol ha'aratzot ha'ein, he says, these lands, because you now, by virtue of the fact that you've come here, and you've planted, and you've dug wells, you have now taken possession. This all goes back to the Ramban, who says that whatever the others did, Maaseh others to the Mabonim, whatever the others did was in order to pave the way for the children. Avram goes through the land in order to make it easier for his children ultimately to conquer the land. And that's why originally he went to Plishtim. But he didn't make in Plishtim the kind of acquisition that he should have, and therefore Yitzhak had to come after him. Number three, the Chizkuni of all of the Gishonim. The Achimotik of Ashuran will establish that promise, that oath that I have made to Avram is going to be yours now, that I'm going to give this to your children. Lazarba v'lo Yishmael. It's yours, but not Yishmael. By the way, the Arachayim at the end says the same thing. Lecha, you. You are considered the seed of Avram, and therefore it's yours, and not the... I give ha'arotzo to Aaron. Remember, this is God's promise to Yitzchak, and the promise is being made while he's standing on Gush Katif. And he says to him, ha'arotzo to Aaron. Here we have the Chizkuni now, saying exactly what the Rambam had said, what the Rambam had said, what the Arachayim had said, Shehari Eretz Plishtim Av Bechlal Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not some kind of a foreign country. It's not a two-day numbers country. Shehari Eretz Plishtim Av Bechlal Eretz Yisrael, as we explained in Parsha Vayero. At Kol HaRatzot Ha'el, he says very nicely, Ha'el means, hey, the 31. Lamed Aleph is 31. Yahushua is going to conquer 31 kings when he enters Eretz Yisrael. See, you know what that really represents? 31 kings represents all of Eretz Yisrael. Let's turn over to the other side. Number four, you can't see it, it's the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And here, for the present, we'll just take the very end. It's underlined the last three lines. Kibachor, because to you and your children I will give this land. Hutam alatzivui, this is the reason why God commanded him, Gur Boretz Azel, living this land. Why? Do you know why he has to live in this land? Because it's going to be given to his children. So what's accomplished by his living in this land? La'arot chavivut ha'aretz she'ishalom v'shal zaro. That he should show and demonstrate his love of the land. What land? Gush Katif, Hebel Aza, Eretz Plishtim. Because it's his and his sin. It belongs to them. Laharo to show chavivut ha'ares, the love of the land. The next radak, number five. Let's see where it's underlined. Chol ha'sipurim ha'ela, all of the stories in this parasha about the digging of the wells. The chol ha'sipurim ha'ela, the chafurot ha'beirot. The digging of the wells, of the kriyat hashemot, and calling them the names that they were called. La'udia could tell us. Kibbeh Eretz Yisrael, ha'muzeket Eretz Yisrael that we hold on to. Ha'yachofer be'edot, kibitzono, he was able to dig wells as he wished. Ve'inloche b'yodam. Ve'en, nobody stopped him. Ve'chen korei shemot kibitzono, he gave them the names that he wanted. And the people would call it that. Listen, as the Torah says, the name of the place is Be'er Sheva Av Edom Hazeh. Avram Avinu named the place Be'er Sheva. And lo and behold, the whole world knows exactly where Be'er Sheva is. What's going to be fascinating, of course, is at the end of this parasha here, after the struggles between Avram and Yitzhak, they're going to join again and make a second covenant. And then it says, the last pasuk of him is by Yikra Otash Shiv'ah. He called the place Shiv'ah. Okay, Shem Ha'ir Be'er Sheva. Therefore, the name of the place is Be'er Sheva till this day. You should know, so-called Bible scholars have had a field day with this. They wanted to prove that Torah is really a patchwork of all sorts of different documents from source A, B, C, X, Y, Z. So they say, look, here are two stories. One Avram calls the name Be'er Sheva. To whom Yitzchak calls the name Be'er Sheva. Alright? So, will the real caller of the name Be'er Sheva please stand up? But they didn't understand. What they didn't understand was, according to them, there was some unknown editor, we don't know who he is, who put the stories and patched them together. Now, if he patches them together, obviously, if he had a little bit of sale, not too much, and just had a little bit of sale, he knew that he can't put in, you don't name Be'er Sheva twice. I mean, what happened? You can't sell the Brooklyn Bridge, you can't name Be'er Sheva twice. Maybe do such a foolish thing. So, I'm taking you now to number 8. Such a simple yet profound answer. He called the name of the place Shiva. Okay, shame for you. That's why the name of the place is Be'er Sheva. I'll tell you exactly what it says, then we'll read the words. He says there was a covenant between Avram and Abimelech, and they called the name of the place Be'er Sheva. The only thing is, in this parasha over here, one of the psukim says that Abimelech turns to Yitzchak and he says, Lech me'imah, leave us, ki absamto menyo, because you become mighty from us. The first time the Jews expelled from Chebel Azza.
Uh-oh.
Yitzchak is expelled from Chebel Azza. So Remesha Chachma says, by virtue of the fact that Abimelech exiled Yitzchak, that means he's broken the covenant that he made with Avram. The covenant that Abimelech made with Avram is that there's going to be peace between me and my children and your children and our grandchildren. By virtue of the fact that he casts out Yitzchak, then he has broken the covenant. If so, it means that he's turned the name Be'er Sheva into something that is meaningless. Therefore, there has to be a new covenant that he makes with Yitzchak. And only then is the city called Be'er Sheva, because of the second covenant. Watch the words of Meshach Chochmah. Going out here. And therefore, all of the great questions that were asked by Bible critics, who gave it a name? They all disappear into absolute nothingness. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. They're still teaching this at Hebrew University, you understand. They're still teaching you that Torah wasn't given at Sinai. Torah is a patchwork. Proof? Two Be'er Shevas. Says the Rimesh HaKof Mahakavonim. Say the Parashah Vayeyo, the Parashah Vayeyo before the Akedah. Kishanish Baravinela Baravron. The Kharitushnei Abrit when Avron and Avinela swore to one another. Not that. Swore to one another. And they made a covenant. Kolo Amakon Be'er Sheva. He called the name of the place Be'er Sheva. Avala Atak Kishan Yishu and Yitzhak afterwards when they cast out Yitzhak.
Hufan had breed God's name, they violated the treaty that had been made with the two Gedula. And Bosma has swore in Israel the oath that they had taken at Be'er Sheva, oath, the Be'er of the oath, that that oath was meaningless. Shekin Shamgela, or Fabi Tom, because Abimela violated the priest. Two in B'nai Avram, the Kalala Shusa, the children of Avram, are not part of the oath that was made. Al Kibol Yitzchak, when they came to Yitzchak, Vosn Mo Shalom, and they made peace with him. Shalom. The Nifu, Zelazel, they swore to one another. Shud Nikayem HaShvuah. So now the Shvuah, the oath, is again reinstated. V'nikra Shemit, for a second time they called the name of the place Beersheba. Ad Hayom Hazeh. It's Ad Hayom Hazeh. Not because of the covenant that was entered into between Avraham and Abimelech, but because of the covenant that was entered into between Avraham and Yitzchak. The Zvesha Omer, that's why the Pasuk here said, Al Kem Shem Ha'ir, say the truth. Now there's a painful piece that is a little bit of history to this piece. I don't even know that I should say the history, but all right. Number seven is a Rashban. This Rashban is at the beginning of Akedat Yitzchak by Nihim Achad Advarim Ha'ele, and came to pass after these things. The last time I taught this Rashban was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. It was the parsha that was going to be read the following Shabbos was going to be Parsha Vayera, and this Rashban is on Parsha Vayera, the beginning of the Akedah. And I remember driving in and thinking, I can't learn that Rashban. Not today I can't. And then I decided, no, the Rashban is Torah, and therefore I'm going to learn. What was it that caused me such deep
anguish?
The Motzoi Shabbos before that, Shir Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated.
Oh, right.
Monday was the Levar. And here I'm going to learn the Rashban that is really a complete assault on all the agreements that were made at the time. I was in great pain, just like anybody who had any head or any heart was in great pain at the tragedy of this sort. Something of this sort should happen. I climbed the southern heath and then should kill and fellow Jesus. It was a horror. But then I decided Torah is Torah. And whatever differences of opinion we had, those differences of opinion are legitimate. And therefore they're legitimate. So I learned the Rashban. The Rashban is a little scary. The Rashban says the following. And it came to pass after these things. Do you know what precedes the Akedah? The covenant between Abraham and Abimelech, the treaty, and which he calls the name of the place Beersheba, called Beersheba for the first time. All of the Mefarshim want to understand what's the relationship when it says by Yehi Achar HaDvarim HaEleh, and it came to pass after these things. It always means that there's some kind of a relationship between that which came before and that which comes now. And therefore it says, and after these things, such and such. There are all sorts of other portion that say, for example, Rashi says, by after these things, going back much earlier in Pasha Fayina, that when Yitzchak was born, Avram made a party. When Yitzchak was 2 years old, he made a party. He was probably made a bar mitzvah that was, they had never seen a bar mitzvah like this in the Middle East. And the son said, and didn't bring the sacrifice to you. He makes parties, you understand? And he doesn't bring the sacrifice to you. So God says to the son, if I ask him to sacrifice his own son, he'll do that to me.
So Rashi says, after the words of the Satan. The difficulty with Rashi is the words of the Satan don't appear in Torah. And if anything, it refers back to events earlier in the Sefer. The Rashbam is always the one who attempts to learn Pshuto Shel Mikra. If it says, it means after that which immediately preceded. And the point that the Rashbam is going to say is that the Akeda, the command of God that he should bring his one and only son as a sacrifice, was a punishment. You entered into an agreement with somebody about the land that I promised you. Who gave you a right to make any agreements or any deals with regard to that land? It's not yours, it's mine, and I gave it to you. You have no right to make any agreements with anybody. And God therefore is going to say to him, so you think you can make your own agreements and your own deals? I'm going to show you that you may not even have a son to whom you can give any part of Eretz Yisrael. Very, very powerful Rashbam, but he proves it. He establishes point number one. You have to understand when it says, and it came to pass after these things, it's always related to the parasha immediately before. Says in Parashat Lech Lecha, after these things, God appeared to Avraham and told him, don't be afraid. So the Rashbam learns. After he had tied with the four great kings and he was frightened that they may take retribution someday, so God tells him, out here, Avraham, don't be afraid. God said to Maltiro Avram in almost don't be afraid of the nations. Afterwards it says after these things, the Yitzchak was born. At the end of the Akeda, it says, after the great passion of the Akeda, the news reaches Avram that children were born to Pesuleh,
yes,
and to Gachash and Tacham and Macha. So it says, Betuel gave birth to Rivka. So you should know that the Shidduch, the Zivik for Yitzchak, is ready. The Chayn Acha Advarim Ha'elah. The third chapter in Megillat Esther, after these things, Shehigid Mordechai, what happened at the end of chapter 2? That Mordechai was the one who stopped the assassination, the attempted, alleged assassination of Ahasuerus. So there's a direct relationship between, now that he was nearly assassinated, so Ahasuerus needs a strong man who's going to be his front man, and that is going to be two lines further, Afkan. Here also, Achar Avram, Shekaras Avram, Bislav Inela. Lower Lenino Lenetto, after Avram had made a covenant with Avinela between him, his grandson, and his great grandson, Shel Avram, the Mosan was shed up Kisos' son and gave him seven sheep. The Choro Avro Shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu Al Zot. God got angry about that covenant. Sha'arei Eretz Plishtim b'chlal divrei Yisrael. Is this the fourth time we hear this now? The fourth, fifth time? Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. How do you make a covenant to give it away? Who gave you the right to give it away to anybody? And Avraham didn't have to evacuate anybody from Plishtim in order to make the covenant. Because Eretz Plishtim is the cloud of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziv aleihem, and God commanded about those living in the land of Canaan, lo techaya kol neshama shama, let them live. V'gam b'Yoshua matilim al orei chamesh esar plishtim gora. The Rashbam says, take a look and say to Yoshua, the lads that were drawn to define Eretz Yisrael, there are also lads drawn with regard to the five cities of Plishtim. And according to Muslim Parsha, it became part of the Nachala, the inheritance of Yehuda. Lachain, because he entered into a covenant that he shouldn't have entered into. You can't do this. Therefore, the Elohim Nisot Avraham God tested Avraham. And he uses, he explains the word Nisot, not as to test, but he says, Kinterov vit Siyarov. Translate Kinterov Siyarov means he pained him, or he sort of, God wanted to get him upset so that he should realize the mistake that he had made. Kinechtir, as it says, one tries to talk to you and you become exhausted. They taunted God, taunted, that's the word. Listen, this is so good. You've become full of pride about the son that I gave you. With no bit, now you can make a covenant between you and their children. Alright, you have children now and their children. Me? My children? I ain't looking at Hashem. It's okay. The Akon now, you know what I'm telling you? Leif v'haleil ola, bring it as an ola. Let's see what was the benefit that accrued to you from having made this covenant. Afterwards, after he thought of this, in other words, I think it's beautiful that the Rambam is saying this, and I believe that that's exactly how it happened. Because first he looks at the Pshuto Shel Mikra. First he looks at what's the pasuk saying. Means that whatever comes afterwards, the Akedah has to be related to the covenant between Avram and Avinah. Then he said, I found it in the Medrash. See, one of the Rashbam's complaints to his Zayd Rashi was that Rashi used Medrash too much. Should have stuck more to Pshuto Shel Mikra. So he says, but then afterwards I found in the Medrash in Shmuel, Vayiharam Hashem Medrash Plishtim Shiva Chadashim, the Ark of God, after the battle at which they captured the Ark of God, it was there for 7 months. It says, you know what this corresponded to? The seven sheep. The seven sheep that came out in Melah. Shenetago of Sheva Kibasov. Chayeva, I swear, God says. Shebonim Oisim Sheva Mukhamos. Abimelech's children are going to wage 7 wars against your children because you entered into that covenant. The Noshimotan and the Plishtim are going to be victorious. Davaracha, Chayecha, Shebonov Harukim Sheva Tzadikim Ligonev, I swear that his children, Abimelech's children, are going to kill 7 Tzadikim of your children. Ve'eluhem, Shimshon, Chofni, Pinchas, Shaul, Ushol Shebon of Shaul, and his 3 sons. The Rata, this is the worst. Chayech, I swear, because you made this covenant with him, you gave away to him something that doesn't belong to him, something that I gave to you. There are going to be 7 houses of God that are going to be destroyed. The Elohim, Olam Moed, the Gilgal, the Nod, the Shiloh, the Gibbon, Ubeit Olam, the first Beit HaMikdash and the second. The Raka, then what he started with, that the Oran is going to be moved through the land of Plishtim for 7 months. So he says, Nasei Kuntreye, to be comforting or to taunt. This is an awesome and amazing Rashbam. And Rashbam, of course, is built on Pshuto Shel Mikra, but it's one that he brings a Medrash. Ha'olem Yidvareinu, the Sikkum, is that what we're talking about is clearly Eretz Yisrael. Anybody who's going to try and tell you that we're talking about something that's the land of Plishtim and what are we doing in Gaza, I'm only giving, of course, you have to know the Farshi, you have to know what Torah says. The whole story, the whole chapter, The two chapters, the chapter of Avraham and Abimelech and the chapter of Yitzchak and Abimelech, are all taking place in Aza. Gror equals Aza. It's Chevel Katif. It's all the rest. So that you have to understand. Kedushat Haaretz, the sanctity of the land, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies there just like any place else. Only thing that differentiates it from Tel Aviv or Ramat Aviv Gimel is that Ramat Aviv Gimel, the only Babel settled there, but only Babel did not sanctify Gush Katif. And most probably it was for our benefit so that we should have some place from which to get food during the year of Ashmir. Yehidatzon v'lefnei avim shavar shamayim, that this should not happen. Okay.